Good afternoon, everyone. Welcome to Midday Magazine for this July 26th, 2023. I have your host, James J. Mailoff, here. At 3:30, we're going to talk with Anne from the ODC. Looking forward to hanging out with her. Right now, our friend Lance Plimmel, Wood County Board Chairman, joins us. Good morning, Lance, or good afternoon.
Good morning, James. Great to be here.
Yeah, good to have you here. Thanks for being here, Lance. And, of course, a big shout-out to our friends at Wisconsin Rapids Community Media. Appreciate the gang over there. Do yourself a favor. Go to YouTube, type into your search bar, Wisconsin Rapids Community Media. Subscribe to their page and keep up on all the great things that they are doing over there. Lance, how you been?
I've been good. Summer's been great. You know, maybe not so much if some of the parts of the state if you're farming. But if you enjoy dry, warm weather, it's been a great summer here in Wisconsin.
Definitely been very happy to get this rain that we have gotten today. And getting it now and not last weekend when, of course, we had the water ski show tournament and everything. I want to start right there. Lance, did you get to take in any of it? What kind of things that were you hearing from the community over the week?
Well, I got to take in a little of it because I actually had to fly to Austin, Texas for a national conference of the Counties Association. However, you know, that water ski tournament is just tremendous economic boost to our area. We've had people who've skied in that tournament who've moved businesses here. The participation of both community businesses, the other charitable organizations, and just volunteers who pitch in with help to run it. You know, it takes a lot of people to run a tournament of that magnitude. And I'm sure you heard it on some of the broadcasts. If you're watching, it was streamed. It is the largest water ski tournament in the world. And you know, certainly kudos and a shout goes out to the aqua skiers for running this tournament, you know, for over half a century. It's been tremendous. But the part that amazes me the most with this, James, is the family participation and the generational family participation.
Yeah,
I mean, there's people in that tournament where, you know, I watch them and then their kids, and now their kids' kids are skiing in that tournament. And then when you watch, whether it be, you know, restaurants, hotels, the campgrounds, our Wood County Parks Department does a fantastic job with setting that, you know, helping set that site up, having that campground ready. But there's so many moving parts, and yet year in, year out, they pull it off. In the midst, typically, of a storm, and Saturday night, Saturday afternoon, we did have a little bit of a storm, not of the magnitude in the past where trees blew down and trailers tipped over.
Yeah.
But again, an outstanding job and a great face for Wood County and the Wisconsin Rapids area.
It's I don't know, because so many of us, not just transports like me that have been here 20 some years and have never known what it's like not to have that water ski show tournament. There's a lot of locals, a lot of kids that have grown up in this area that they've always known that it's always been the case. I've talked to some before that, you know, about when it first came here and the sort of thing. One of the first things that comes up from community members all when it comes to that subject is the economic impact. That you could tell the difference that when this water ski show came here and when it didn't. And, you know, we're a little used to it, not in a bad way or anything. We've kind of come to not take advantage of it or take it for granted, but, you know, something akin to that. So I think we don't think about that all the time. But, man, our local businesses, I bet you every business on A Street thinks about it.
Well, you know, they do. And, you know, as I travel around the state, I used to hear people, you know, I tell them from Wisconsin Rapids, they say, oh, the home of Consolidated Papers. And as the paper industry contracted over years, I'd have people tell me, oh, that place with that giant water ski tournament. Mm-hmm. So, you know, it's so integral in what we do from a tourism standpoint in our area that the Discover media crews, the same group that does Discover Wisconsin was here filming a show called Uniquely Wisconsin, where Wood County is going to be featured. And we thought this was such a big part of the fabric of our communities, both, you know, countywide, that we needed to have them out there filming. So they were out there Thursday, Friday, and Saturday. I was out there Thursday all day. I did not put my name on the list of people to be interviewed, although they grabbed me as I was walking between places, not probably dressed extremely appropriately or prepared to do an interview. But nonetheless, you know, part of that. Now, who knows what they use and what they don't use. But,
oh, yeah.
Again, just a tremendous event.
Do you know much? Mayor Blazer brought this up, too, about them being here. And we're big fans of the Discover Wisconsin people. We worked with them here at WFHR before. Great people over there. Did you hear about how this came to be, how this came about?
You're in respect to them filming here. Well, Mark Rose and family, who owns Discover Media Works, is an acquaintance.
Hmm.
Works with the Counties Association on a lot of projects, especially the Discover Wisconsin piece, as well as Uniquely Wisconsin, which is generally features businesses in the community and a reason to relocate your business here, become part of the fabric of our communities. So there was a first round. They were doing six counties a year is all they would schedule. And I was a little hesitant in the first to get involved with the first six to see how this went.
Sure.
Actually, because it's a fairly, you know, large investment. And I watched the benefits of the first six counties who did this. Back when they started this show, they were expecting, you know, a fair amount of hits on the website and views of the program. And I think it was about in the first 4 or 5 months, they had over 4 million views of this. So it extremely beneficial when we talked to those representatives from Washington County who'd done it, Sauk County, and some of the others. And then, like I said, I have a little bit of a relationship with Mark Rose, who owns Discover Media Works.
Yeah.
And, you know, we were one of the six counties that got to be in the second group.
We're going to watch the episode, so we don't want any spoilers too much or anything like that. But as far as plate locations that they set up, that they filmed, kind of the hot spots around here, places you'd expect?
Typically, you know, they look at business, oftentimes family businesses, and how that, you know, wraps into the whole community. So the water ski tournament, although you could call it a tourism event, involves so many local businesses that participate. That was important. I don't know that they've decided specifically yet, but one of those episodes will be filmed in Marshfield. There's a couple proposals on the table. And then it's kind of hard to ignore the cranberry culture of our county and try to roll that in, because Monroe County did a whole, you know, episode, or, you know, they filmed something in regard to the cranberry industry. So we're trying to look at a maybe a spin on that. You know, some people that have done things other than just, you know, the growing and harvesting of cranberries.
Yeah.
So we're working on that. And, you know, at the end of the day, the hope is to spur more business. And I'm laughing. I'll segue this for you. So we're, before this started, you know, James and I were talking just briefly and said, you know, there's not a lot of pressing stuff going on. But as we talk about bringing business in town, we have a critical housing shortage in our area. I mean, we're not talking a little bit of a shortage. We're talking critical. And as we strive to bring new businesses in the community, we have to house those people.
Mm-hmm.
And I think, you know, we have to take a look at different models. Because first of all, there's not enough developers, not enough build. We can't build our way out of this with traditional subdivisions that have been done in the past. So coming back from the national conference and sitting in a number of seminars where some of the housing projects have been successful, I'm going to try to set up a task force in the next month or so that's going to start meeting with developers, builders, government leaders. So, you know, at least from our end, we can cut the red tape. We might have to look at some different models so we can bring more units on, you know, development. And then the key always, they say affordable. Well, explain affordable to me. You know, we were talking to some counties in California. They said, well, that means anything under a half a million.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that probably puts you into anything here.
Right.
But that's not affordable based on the wages in our area. So, you know, kind of looking at workforce housing and how do we handle that? So that's going to be extremely important as we move forward and try to develop businesses in our area.
How far along are you with this task force? You mentioned the types of people. Do you have any specific people?
If the scale was 1 to 10, and, you know, 1 being we haven't started and 10 being, you know, we're fairly far along, we're at 0.
Okay.
You know, we identified this when we were looking at ARPA funds. We identified this as probably the second most critical need within the county.
Mm-hmm.
So it's on our radar, and we have some dollars to work with there. But actually putting together, other than a government workforce, you know, actually working with the people who would have to provide it, we have not started that yet.
Mm-hmm.
But it's going to have to start, because by the end of, we actually have a full another year to ascertain, determine where those dollars are going to be spent.
Yeah.
And we have till 2026 to actually spend the money.
Mm-hmm.
So we haven't been in a hurry, but child care, housing, right at the top of the list.
Yeah, and those got to be one, too. You know, I know that we are always looking for more businesses and more jobs in town and such, but if you take care of those two things, some of that will come into this.
Yeah, and you have to take care of the people that are here first.
Right.
You know, I always say, you know, the easiest customer or resident to have or garner is the one you already have.
Yep.
They're here. So how do we make, you know, the community more favorable to that?
Well, I, if you want to look at a real difference of cities and states that aren't losing people as much as others, because every state in the union is losing people, some more than others. Everybody's migrating, and some of those people are going to one state and it's helping that one another, vice versa. But you want to see a common theme there. You see communities in places that are taking care of the people that already live there. The idea that you are going to tempt people to move to your state by doing this, this, and this, that doesn't, we don't see that as much. We see people that are in state wanting to stay in that state, whether we're talking about Wisconsin, Maine, California, whatever, taking care of those people.
Yeah, you know, there's a number of factors that come in. You know, climate's one, and it's kind of funny. At first, you know, there was an out-migration out of some of the upper Midwest, you know, what was referred to previously, or the Rust Belt, yeah. You know, down south. And as they've moved to some of these areas, and they found out that water needs are critical, right. and they don't have that. You also see some of the temperatures. Like I said, I was in Austin last week. It was, pick your number, 105 to 107 degrees every day.
Yeah.
On the pavement, you know, if you're downtown, you're probably 120. And I heard somebody tell me somewhere they were hitting temperatures like 140.
Yeah.
So, I mean, there's also people looking to go a different direction. And then they typically look at states as they're migrating to, the in-migration, that have less government regulation. So when I say assist, sometimes it's how can we assist by getting out of the way, you know, and allowing those people in the private sector who do things well to do them without taking 4 years to get a permit to get it done. Mm. You know, if it's an allowable use, and there might be a few qualifications within that, but, you know, get out of the way and let them get started. And, you know, we're seeing smaller developments. And I'm not talking, you know, the old necessarily, well, in our community, actually. But, you know, we're not talking 20-story apartment buildings, mm-hmm. little apartments. But, you know, you might be talking about more kind of planned unit developments where you have townhouse-type setups, where you have less land use and a little bit higher population densities within that area. But those areas have to be planned.
Right.
Taking into account, you know, healthcare, transportation, all of those other needs. You know, some of the problem we've created ourselves, James, you know, the intended consequence was great. You know, keeping people as they age in their homes. Mm-hmm. But if you keep somebody in their home as they age and they live 20 miles out of town and now they have transportation needs and then they expect government to provide that, that becomes a strain on our budgets. But if there's nowhere to come closer to town, mm-hmm. you know, that's decent residential properties, they're probably not going to come this way.
Right.
And then that exacerbates the problem is in the past when those homes sometimes were sold, mm-hmm. when those residents moved and that inventory became available, that doesn't happen. So, you know, there's a whole bunch of things that feed into this, and we need to address them all.
There's a myth, too, that it used to be, like, for my generation, the generation before mine, if you will, that once I got to a certain age, my parents were going to either give me a house, help me buy a house, or something like that, similar to a vehicle. That kind of faded, if it was ever actually a thing. I don't know if that was actually even a thing or just something we heard about. Like, back in my day, this, and I don't know if that was actually the case, because I've never seen some actual stats on that one of people just giving houses and stuff. But be that as it may, we are in a different era now. We're in a different time, and we see people living at home longer as well and unable to get out of the home faster. So certainly pay is an issue with this as well. The housing market, you're right, Lance, there's no magic bullet for this. There's no one-trick solution. Whether it is using all the funds that we have there, the smartest we can use them, that still ain't going to solve this.
No, you know, and I see it firsthand. You know, I have a son. And by the way, I've seen some statistics recently that have been verified where it says, you know, the average age now of males, you know, moving out of a family home is in their early 30s.
Yeah, I've seen that.
And part of that is just plain affordability.
Mm-hmm.
You also see the age of marriage increasing greatly as people try to become more, you know, financially stable maybe mm-hmm. before they enter into that. And generationally, you did see back, you know, a generation or two ago where parents often did help, you know, at least help
yes,
in the purchase
yes.
of that initial home.
Mm-hmm.
As financial, you know, strains have occurred, and that has certainly changed that a little bit.
Yeah.
And then just not availability. So my son is getting married this year.
Mazel tov.
And they're looking at purchasing a home or even renting an apartment. And I can tell you there's virtually nothing available. And, you know, we do some other real estate shows on this, you know, on this station. And, you know, in a market where you typically had 300 to 400 homes available at any time in a balanced market, we've had 20, you know, over the last couple of years. And again, that pushes prices maybe beyond what they normally might be. And then people are worried about that cliff. Interest rates are 7%, which has changed the dynamic a little bit. So a lot of parts come into this. So we're looking from a county standpoint, you know, if we can help with the infrastructure and eliminate some of that cost and get those builders to a point where they can start to put up units, We're not going to build our way out of it very rapidly, mm-hmm. but we can certainly start.
Yeah, it's a slow burn. Yep. That's what this there's very few things out there that are going to change overnight. It's going to take some time with something like this and take multiple angles and multiple viewpoints in that. Going, and that leads me right back to you were talking about putting this group together and everything. If people want to be a part of that, if people think that they have ideas or something, reach out to you about this stuff.
Yeah, that would be great to reach out to me, because, you know, as we've seen successes in other parts of the country, we've looked at ones where, you know, the government representatives on a group like that are fewer than the number of people in private industry that actually, you know, build, plan, you know, whether it be architects, involve all of those people in the community. And there's a lot of expertise out there in the community. You've heard me say it over and over and over. You know, there's 19 members of the Wood County Board, and 19 of them have some pretty good ideas from time to time. Yeah. But there's 75,000 plus people out there who, if even a fraction of those have a really good idea and give us a call, we have a lot more good ideas than we do within our small group. So feel free, you know, to give us a call, to give us your thoughts, to talk about how we might start to, you know, solve this problem.
We're speaking of the Wood County Board Chairman, Lance Plimmel. And Lance, I wanted to get into the big closure going on right now on County Highway W. Maybe even warn some people about that may have not been out that way yet or something. It's just east of Wisconsin Rapids. The construction of a roundabout going on over there. So this is just construction in general. This has been going pretty well, construction this season, from what we've been seeing.
We've had zero weather delays. Same thing with the jail. We're a little bit ahead of schedule because we had no weather related delays. That roundabout at 48th Street in County W, which is on the corner, you know, where the Grand Rapids Town Hall is and what was Children's Choice School, for those who go back a while.
Yeah, yeah.
That roundabout has been under construction for quite some time. And the detours are fairly well marked. But the hard part is I live that direction.
Mm-hmm.
And habitually, you start driving that way. And then I get out there and I go, oh, yeah, if I would have thought about this ahead of time, gone a different direction, I'd have saved myself a whole bunch of time. So be aware of that. And that's going to be closed for several months. So you can get to the new Dollar General out there. You cannot get through that intersection. The detours are marked. You know, and that's always a fluid situation, too. I mean, we assume we have the best routes.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, we monitor that, you know, with traffic counts and others. But, you know, if we see that traffic is moving a different direction and there's better ways to do things to accommodate the people in the area, we'll certainly do that. But it's a big project. It's a $1 million project, you know, to increase some of the safety at that intersection, and probably won't be done. I probably should have talked to the highway commission before I got here, but, you know, we're looking at September.
Yeah, that's what I saw, too, September. And other construction, and you mentioned the jail, all of this not only on time, but a little bit ahead of schedule with some of these things, as Mayor Blazer was telling us last week.
Yeah, we've been pretty lucky. Like I said, unless you're, you know, need the moisture because you're, you know, growing crops, which is pretty important in our area, too. Although we have a lot of irrigated land here. However, yes, you know, when you don't have those big storms, those rain delays where everything's a mess the following day, and I shouldn't even say it because, you know, it's like we don't have any wood to knock.
Yeah.
You know, as soon as I say it, you know, we're going to have a big storm. But we've been pretty lucky to this point.
Lance, one of the other things that I wanted to get into with you was being a board member and the importance of this. It seems like every other show you and I touch on this and just encouraging people to look at, you know, whether it is the Wood County Board or, you know, a business that you work at, a nonprofit that you care about, encouraging people to be board members, and especially young people. It really, really could use more 20, 30-somethings on these boards.
Absolutely. There are elected officials, and then there's a lot of boards where an elected official like myself has the ability to appoint from within the community. I heard a speaker the other day. We had some great speakers at this national conference. You know, some of them you've heard of. Some of them are politicians, you know, U.S. senators and stuff. But then you had, like, Dr. Drew, you know, Drew Pinsky from TV. Joan London spoke one day. But,
wow,
you know, and I don't remember exactly which person made the point. But it was said, if you're not willing to participate, then don't complain.
Mm-hmm.
And so that would be my point, is participate. You know, there's opportunities, you know, to be on planning and zoning, you know, commissions, to sit on different parks boards and commissions, the libraries. I mean, and then within the community itself, you know, if it's not even government, Crime Stoppers Board of Directors. You know, I can think of some of the ones that I've been involved with.
Yeah.
Aging Disability Resource Center Boards of Directors. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of opportunity. So, you know, I guess I would encourage everybody to ask, you know, to maybe, in this case, I'll put it on Trent, our county clerk, who, by the way, was just elected president of the Wisconsin County Clerks Association.
Congrats to him.
And I'm going to give another plug there, too. And Tiffany Ringer, our Register of Deeds, has also been elected president of her respective association.
Congrats to her.
So what's amazing about that is, you know, Wood County looks pretty good in the eyes of the state. Many of our department heads, our elected officials, have become the president of their respective associations. Mm-hmm. And it's because of the work we do here and the way that we tend to work together.
Yeah.
But so I digressed for a second there. So call Trent Minor, the county clerk. You know, maybe if you want to, you know, if you're interested in something, you'd like to get your name on a list, you can call him. You can call me. My number's on the website. Mm-hmm. But we certainly take that into consideration. And I have people call every now and then saying, I'm kind of interested in when something opens up on the State Wildlife Advisory, you know, committee or board or out at Sand Hill or something. Would you consider me?
Yeah.
The answer is absolutely.
Mm-hmm. Lance, I wanted to wrap up with the conference you just mentioned. How did that go? What was it about?
Well, it was a great conference. Annual National Association of Counties Conference. Mm. Over 3,000 registered county officials from around the country. Mm. You know, meeting with, you know, federal leaders, state leaders, tremendous breakout sessions. Really started about 7 in the morning and goes till pretty much 6 every night. Mm. Fairly intense, you know, within the sessions, but a good chance to network outside of that as well. There's some counties that send numerous representatives because there's no way you can cover all of those breakout sessions. Yeah. But great conference, great opportunity. Again, to take advantage of room rates, they're always like Austin, Texas in the summer.
Yeah.
Last year we were outside of Denver. It was 102 degrees every day. Mm. And next year I just heard we're in Tampa in July. So, you know, fun and games. But again, you know, they're trying to leverage those room rates in those offices.
Yeah. One of the things that we appreciate about our city officials, our board members, different jobs, we hear this all the time of doing these conferences, of looking for information, looking for outside resources or outside opinions, outside thoughts. We can never have enough of that. It shows good leadership to me when you see people that realize I don't have all the answers. I'm comfortable enough with my intelligence to be able to say that I don't know everything. I admire that. I think it's some of the greatest leadership. It goes back to Lincoln and him appointing people in his first cabinet that were running against him and him getting, hey, I don't know everything. I'm going to hire the guy that just ran against me and tried to beat me. I think that's smart politics.
Well, it's just finding opportunities. I mean, nobody can be aware of every funding opportunity out there. But somebody from some county somewhere says, hey, do you realize there's credits for solar or broadband or, subdivision infrastructure.
Yeah.
I mean, you hear this all over, and there is, that's the sad part. Instead of being one place where you go for this funding, there's a bushel basket of these things out there, and half the time you're not aware of them. Not looking to add people ever, but there are some counties that actually have people who do nothing but, you know,
you look
research
for
grants
yeah,
and solicit. And some of those opportunities are extremely beneficial to communities.
But you don't think that's something we would need here?
Going down a road we may get there. You know, we've contracted with people for some of these opportunities. Mm-hmm. My concern always is the opportunities have been vast over the last couple of years because of the amount of money the government has printed that they don't really have. That's going to come to an end at some point. And then you have somebody with those limited opportunities. Mm-hmm. You know, right now, opportunities are almost unlimited.
Lance, always a good time talking with you. If people have follow-up questions and want to know more, maybe even talk with you about that board that you were talking about, how can people get in touch with you?
Pretty easy. My number, my email address, you can text me. It's all at the Wood County website. That's the easiest way so you don't have to remember numbers or addresses. I always laugh when somebody gives you their email address. It's, you know, ABC123. It's on the website.
You can find that website, woodcountywi.gov, woodcountywi.gov.
And just Google Wood County, Wisconsin.
Can do that too. We want to encourage you to check out the YouTube page of Wisconsin Rapids Community Media. Like their page, subscribe to it, keep up with all the great work that they're doing over there. Appreciate you guys very much. Keep it up. We'll have more Midday Magazine coming up right here for you on WFHR, 97.5 FM, 1320 AM, locally grown radio.